भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Hare Krishna. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 10. Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. Text 35. Amuni Bhagavad Rupe Mayatehi Anuvarnite उभे अपि न घृणन्ति माया सृष्टे विपश्चिता अमुनि भगवद् रूपे मया ते हि अनुवर्णिते उभे अपि न घृणन्ति माया सृष्टे विपश्चिता अमुनि भगवद् रूपे मया ते हि अनुवर्णिते उभे अपि न घृणन्ति माया सृष्टे विपश्चिता अमुनि भगवद् रूपे ते अनुवर्णिते मयाते हि अनुवर्णिते उभे अपि न घृणन्ति मया सृष्टे विपश्चिता अमुनि भगवद् रूपे मया ते हि अनुवर्णिते उभे अपि न मया सृष्टे विपश्चिता अमुनि भगवद् रूपे मया ते हि अनुवर्णिते उभे अपि न घृणन्ति माया सृष्टे विपश्चिता माताजी प्लीज अमुनि भगवद् रूपे मया ते अनुवर्णिते उभे अपि न घृणन्ति माया ते विपश्चिता अमुनि भगवद् रूपे मया ते हि अनुवर्णिते उभे अपि न घृणन्ति माया सृष्टे विपश्चिता अमुनि भगवद् रूपे मया ते हि अनुवर्णिते उभे अपि न घृणन्ति माया सृष्टे विपश्चिता वर्ड टू वर्ड अमुनि ऑल दीज भगवत अंटू द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड Rupe in the forms Maya by me Te unto you He certainly Anuvarnite described respectively sorry Ube both Api also Na Never. Grananti accepts. Maya, external. Shushte, being so manifested. Viparchitaha, the learned, one who knows. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Neither of the above forms of the Lord, as just described unto you from the material angle of vision, is accepted by the pure devotees of the Lord, who know Him well. Purport. The impersonalists think of the absolute personality of Godhead in two different ways, as above mentioned. On the one hand, they worship the Lord in His Vishwarup, or all-pervading universal form. And on the other, they think of the Lord's unmanifested, undescribable, subtle form. The theories of pantheism and monism are respectively applicable to these two conceptions of the Supreme as gross and subtle. But both of them are rejected by the learned pure devotees of the Lord because they are aware of the factual position. This is very clearly mentioned in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which records Arjuna's experience of the Vishwarup of the Supreme Lord, Shri Krishna. Adrishta purvam harsito ami drashtva bhayena cha pravyathitam manome tad eva me darshaya deva rupam prasiddha devesha jagan nivasa. Bhagavad Gita 11:45. Arjuna, as a pure devotee of the Lord, never previously saw the contemplated universal form of the Lord, Vishwarupa. But when he did see it, his curiosities were satisfied. But he was not happy to see such a form of the Lord because of his attachment as a pure devotee. He was afraid to see the gigantic form of the Lord. He therefore prayed to the Lord to assume His four-handed Narayan or Krishna form, which alone could please Arjuna. Undoubtedly, the Lord has the supreme potency to exhibit Himself in multifarious forms. But the pure devotees of the Lord are interested in His forms as eternally exhibited in the abode of the Lord, known as the Tripad Vibhuti, or Kingdom of God. The Lord in the Tripad Vibhuti abode exhibits Himself in two forms, either with four hands or with two hands. The Vishwarup exhibited in the material manifestation has unlimited hands and unlimited dimensions, with everything unlimited. The pure devotees of the Lord worship Him in His Vaikuntha forms as Narayan or Krishna. Sometimes the same Vaikuntha forms of the Lord are in the material world also by His grace, as Sri Ram, Sri Krishna, Sri Narasimha Dev, etc. And thus the pure devotees also worship them. Usually the features shown in the material world have no existence in the Vaikuntha planets, and thus they are not accepted by the pure devotees. What the pure devotees worship from the very beginning are eternal forms of the Lord existing in the Vaikuntha planets. The non-devotee impersonalists imagine the material forms of the Lord, and ultimately they merge in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti of the Lord. Whereas the pure devotees of the Lord are worshippers of the Lord, both in the beginning and also in the perfect stage of salvation eternally. The worship of the pure devotee never stops, whereas the worship of the impersonalist stops after his attainment of salvation, when he merges in the impersonal form of the Lord, known as Brahmajyoti. Therefore, the pure devotees of the Lord are described here as Vipaschita, or the learned who are in knowledge of the Lord perfectly. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhyo Vacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Nama. Hare Krishna, everyone. I seek blessings of my superiors here and good wishes of all the well-wishers. So the translation one more time. Neither of the above forms of the Lord, as just described unto you from the material angle of vision, is accepted by the pure devotees of the Lord who know Him well. So we have been hearing description of the Vishwarupa. And in the following cantos, we will hear of other avatars. And coming up to the 10th canto, we will hear more personal aspects of Krishna avatar. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada, he is mentioning few points that I tried to find, and I'll try to discuss those. One of the points is mentioned is vipaschita, which is a very important point in this verse. In the synonyms, Srila Prabhupada translates it as the learned, one who knows. So the devotees, they know all different aspects of the Lord. But as we've been discussing the Vishwarupa, so that it's in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is pointing out how there are other kinds of worshippers also, and they worship other forms. Like there are people who worship the Vishwarupa, and then there are other impersonalists who meditate on the Brahmajyoti. They want to merge into the Brahmajyoti. So a few points he discussed are, one of the points is like Vaikuntha forms are eternal, and the Vishwarupa form, it's not eternal. It's a imagined temporary form. Then another point is to understand is that the Lord has supreme potency, and because of His potency, He is able to exhibit all these multifarious forms. And then the important point to understand is that the worship of the impersonalists, it stops once they are liberated or once they merge into the Brahmajyoti. But the devotees' worship, it continues eternally because they are worshipping the same eternal forms in their beginning stage, and when they progress to advanced stages, they are worshipping the similar forms. So these are like some of the points I kind of got from this verse, and I'll try to discuss some of these. But let me ask one question. What's the first avatar after this Vishrup form that is discussed in the Bhagavatam? Just, can anyone remember? Which one? Out of the Leela avataras, which avatar is being discussed in the Bhagavatam after this? Or which is the first avatar being discussed other than universal form? Like out of the Dash avataras. So in the third canto, the first avatar that's being discussed is Varaha avatar, the boar incarnation. Just something to wake us up. I thought just it would be interesting to see after Vishrup, which is the avatar Sukadeva Goswami is going to discuss. The devotees, they are not attracted to the impersonal aspect of Lord. What are the reasons? It's very easy to understand. Like if we see Vishrup, I mean, who can worship the Vishrup deity form? Imagine like what we all require. Probably we need unlimited number of devotees also to worship a deity like that. And Srila Prabhupada quoting from the Bhagavad Gita in the 11th chapter, how Krishna, he showed the Vishrup form to Arjuna. So there it's mentioned Arjuna, because he is a pure devotee in Sakya Rasa, so he has that mood of relating to Krishna. So devotees, they relate to Krishna in different rasas, and they cannot see themselves relating to God in any other way. It just doesn't work like that. Like we can see even in our experience of being in this world, like parents, they naturally want to say, you know, paternal, maternal affection to the children. And like with our friends, we want to relate in the friendly ways like that. So in a similar way, the devotees, they have their individual moods that they interact with God in. And we know like there are mainly five different rasas. So Arjuna is in Sakya Rasa. So he was actually, you know, disturbed when he saw the universal form. Although he was satisfied to see all the different aspects and understand, but his mood of relating to Krishna as a friend was disturbed. And then he requested Krishna to, you know, come back to his two-handed form. And of course, Krishna showed the four-armed Vishnu forms also. So these forms, they are eternal forms, like all the Vishnu avatars. And of course, Krishna avatar is even more special. It's even more difficult to achieve. But for devotees, especially those following the bhakti path and following the bhakti process, especially following a bona fide spiritual master, for those kind of yogis, Krishna is very easily achieved. Krishna himself says this in the Bhagavad Gita. For those kind of people, he becomes the swift deliverer. But for the impersonalist worshippers, the path is very troublesome from the beginning till the end. And there is also a risk of actually achieving the goal. So Krishna, Arjuna actually asks this question to Krishna in the 12th chapter after seeing the whole Vishrup. Then Arjuna actually asks this question to Krishna, that who is more perfect, Are these the impersonalists? Those who worship the Vishwarup, because he had just seen the Vishwarup, so naturally he has this question. And in the purport, interestingly enough, Srila Prabhupada mentions that Arjuna also wanted to clarify for himself, because he is worshipping Krishna in Sakya Ras, so he also wanted to clarify his own position. You know, what's going to happen? And so Krishna there, he mentions that actually, this verse, I want to read the translation of this text. It's very beautiful. Yeah. So that's text 2 after Arjuna asked the question. So in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12, text 2, Krishna says, those who fix their minds on my personal form are always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be most perfect. Now, people who study Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, all these Bhakti Shastras, for them it's very easy to understand these things. But people who don't study these kind of things, for them it's very difficult, because what are the other options? They either have to follow what others are doing, seeing the others, or they have to imagine something by themselves. And therefore they start to worship these other aspects. And hence we see there are different kinds of worshippers. In the chapter 17, the divisions of faith, the first question Arjuna asked Krishna is that about like how there are all these different kind of worshippers or people have faith in different ways. How does that work? Oh Krishna, what is the situation of those who do not follow the principles of scripture but worship according to their own imagination? Are they in goodness, in passion, or in ignorance? And then Krishna explains, by whichever mode one is influenced, they take to a certain kind of worship. Like people who are in mode of goodness, they take to demigod worship. Different demigods they worship. And then, interestingly enough, it's mentioned that people who are influenced by mode of passion, they take to worship of the demons. And those who are influenced by mode of ignorance, they worship ghosts and spirits. So, coming from India, I personally known people who worships like ghosts and spirits. And, you know, to uneducated people, they are actually considered very intelligent people, because, you know, they can, like if someone is possessed by a ghost, they can help that kind of person. But we know how, from Bhagavatam, how by chanting, where the names of God are chanted, where names of Krishna are chanted, such kind of entities cannot even exist there. They cannot stay there. Because just like how Arjuna's mood was disturbed, their mood is disturbed when the names of God are chanted. They cannot stay there. Actually, I was discussing this one of the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada on Sunday with some person. I was standing in the line for prasadam. And somehow I was sharing this pastime, how it's there in the Lilamrita. So there was one house available very close to where Srila Prabhupada was living in Kolkata. And he asked his wife, this house is available for like very good price. Shall we buy this? And his wife was like, you know, aren't you aware why this house is being not being sold? No one is buying it. He was like, why not? He was like, because this house is like a ghosty house. There are ghosts living in that house. No one wants to buy it. So Srila Prabhupada, he didn't care. He was like, we don't worry about ghosts. So Srila Prabhupada, he was actually chanting in the house, and the ghost is coming and making like different kind of noises. And of course, he couldn't touch Srila Prabhupada. And so Srila Prabhupada, I remember reading in the Lilamrita, he kind of like turned to the ghost side from where he was making all these sounds. And he kind of asked him, don't you know why you are in such a condition? And then he said, because you never chanted names of Krishna, names of God, that's why you are in such a condition. So I was explaining to this person who has been hearing devotees, like hearing the talks by devotees and reading Krishna book, Bhagavad Gita. So I was saying that like when people are in so lower modes, they have weak heart, they are very easily possessed by these ghosts. But the places where people chant names of God, worship God, worship all these beautiful forms, these kind of living entities, they cannot even enter those kind of places. So this ghost actually left this place after he actually, hearing from a pure devotee, one is delivered from these kind of ghostly conditions. One of the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, I'll just share this point and probably will conclude with that. One of the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam is this beautiful pastime of how Gokarna, he delivered his brother from ghostly condition. So one of his brother, he became a ghost. And Gokarna, he organized Bhagavatam discourse, Bhagavat Saptah, under this tree where his brother was a ghost. And people were coming and worshipping this banyan tree. So Gokarna, he arranged this Bhagavat Saptah and he was speaking Bhagavatam. And there were so many people, they were listening. But at the conclusion of the Bhagavat Saptah, there was one Vaikuntha plane that came. And his brother was like delivered. His brother was taken in this plane. So Gokarna, he asked these devotees who brought the plane that, hey, there are so many people here listening to the Bhagavad Sapta, how come there is only one plane? And the devotees responded, well, this person was listening very attentively because he know I need to be delivered from this condition. So, therefore, one plane. So Gokarna was like, that's not right. Next time, I want like so many planes for all these people who are here. And so he arranged it again. And next time, everyone who was listening to him, they got delivered. So that's the potency of these bhakti practices. It's not just some imagination, or it's not a process. Someone just speculated and it came. It's personally established by Krishna. And who could be a better person to establish Dharma? That's one of the reasons he comes, we know, from the Bhagavad Gita. So the point to understand is the devotees, they are not attracted to these imagined, speculated forms. Why? Because they are learned. They have experience. And why are they learned? Either they followed those who are already learned, they follow these kind of scriptures, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. And by serving the Mahatmas, they develop realization. There is revelation that happens. It's not just one is just coming to the temple every day, chanting, and nothing happens. It's like a dynamic process. One gets revelation. And one cannot know Krishna just by imagining and speculating. One has to perform devotional service. And that's when all these revelations happen. Why? Because Krishna is very personal. Actually, he's the best person in reciprocating. And that's why we see one of the prayers, since we are celebrating Damodar Vrata, I want to read this one of these prayers. The devotees, the impersonalists, they want liberation. That's why they are meditating, they are practicing all these difficult processes. But the devotees, they don't even want liberation. That's like the topmost, like pure, unalloyed devotees. So this, I'll just read the translation of the fourth prayer in this Ashtaka. O Lord, although you are able to give all kinds of benedictions, I do not pray to you for liberation, nor eternal life in Vaikuntha, nor any other boon. My only prayer is that your childhood pastimes may constantly appear in my mind. The devotees, they are not trying to empty their mind. They are not trying to become free from desires. These are the desires of devotees. What is it? My only prayer is that your childhood pastimes may constantly appear in my mind. O Lord, I do not even want to know your feature of Paramatma. The yogis, they meditate on Paramatma for years and years. And many times they don't even get it. What are they seeing when they actually see Paramatma? Many times, if their consciousness is not purified, they think, that's me. But when the desire to serve comes up, that's when they actually understand, oh, as I'm like a tiny being and that's my Lord, I've been trying to meditate on all this time. So that's the situation of the yogis. But devotees, they don't even want the Paramatma feature. What do they want? I simply wish that your childhood pastimes may ever be enacted in my heart. And we know how Lord Chaitanya sets the example of following the dearmost devotees of Krishna, the gopis. What are they trying to do? They are trying to get Krishna out of their mind. Still, they can't do it. You know, and Krishna, he left them. They are like, we don't want to talk about this. You know, he's like cheater. He's this, he's that. It's like, they can't stop talking about him. So, that's what happens when you actually have these revelations, these personal exchanges. One cannot have these kind of experiences unless one relates to God on a personal level. So I will stop here. But we are very fortunate. We are worshiping these beautiful deities, following this amazing process, and at the same time we have this wonderful opportunity to be sharing this with others. Because there are many others who are, like Srila Prabhupada points out in the purport, they are innocent. They are open to learning. But sometimes, because these kind of impersonal worshippers, they are so prominent that they end up being in contact with them and they get misdirected. So therefore, we have to understand mood of our own acharya, and we try our best to take this to these, at least to these innocent people who are really open to learning. Because when they hear about Krishna, they become so attracted. Because no one gets attracted to like something very difficult to practice. Bhakti process is so easy. Who wouldn't want to come back to Ratna Prabhu's feast once they have tasted his kachoris? And who wouldn't come back to like chanting these beautiful songs here with the devotees? So we have to understand also at the same time our own responsibility to be taking it to others. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you.